We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master. All things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, it's going all right, man. Fuck, emergency podcast. We haven't done these for a while. I almost don't like doing them. You know, I'm kind of a control freak and like having the whole outline set up, but we didn't know our matchup for the play-in literally until the final game of the regular season. It's set now, so here we go, man. How are you?
I mean, honestly, I'm stoked. I think this is about as good as it could have gone for this final day. So let's get into it.
I saw my parents today, and my mom was asking me, how are you feeling about this? And she asked it in a way that suggested, like, you got exactly what you wanted. And I had to correct her. Yeah. If you had come to me in the beginning of the season, you know, training camp's going, we're getting all fired up, and someone had asked me, how would you like this to play out? My answer would not have been, oh, 10th seed. I'm hoping they're the 10th seed as the regular season is. But to be fair, if you'd asked me a month ago, you know, after we had done what we did and we'd kind of dug the grave that we had dug, I would have told you then, well, best case scenario, given how the season's played out, is if we end up against Sacramento. So here we are. You know, it's not how we wanted the season to play out, but it is the ending that we wanted after the beginning didn't go the exact way we wanted. So, you know, I'll take it, man.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I was careful in saying, like, based on today, you know, this is not where I want to be right now. I would love to be six or even above that. But hey, you know, it's about as good as it could be.
Couple other caveats before we jump in here. One, late Sunday night, so my apologies in advance. I plan on drinking through this episode. Two, another warning, my kid's been sick, which means I've basically been spending all of my time with a 8-year-old. So if like I bask in conversation here a little more than I normally would, it's only because I need somebody within, I don't know, 30 years of my age range. So appreciate you joining me, man.
Hey, no doubt. And on that note, right, like I'm missing bedtime for this one because, you know, my kid is not eight. He's like not even 8 months yet. So, you know, listen, if you're out there listening and you feel like, you know, you want to do us a solid, that would be the time to drop that 5-star review because we're burning the midnight oil literally for the team. So let's do this.
I mean, literally, if you're on the East Coast, 9 o'clock if you're not. Okay. But either way, let's go, man. Our first segment's a brand new one and probably the most important one we're going to cover today. All right. The segment itself is called Sounds Like a Pro. And here's the idea, Maxine. At some point, the people who are listening to this podcast are going to find themselves in a conversation tomorrow about the Tuesday game against Sacramento. And my goal right now, for those of you who will find yourself in that conversation, I'm going to give you some random stats, some gems to just casually drop in that conversation. And when you do, the other person you're talking to is gonna be like, fuck, that guy knows what he's talking about. Like this, that woman is a pro, whatever it is. So however you want to use it, it is up to you. Let's jump in. Stat number one, the Warriors are favorites tomorrow. They are playing in Sacramento. They are the 10th seed. Sacramento's the 9th seed. That's because they split the season series. Golden State won the first two. Sacramento won the last two, but Sacramento had a better record in the Pacific Division, which is why they won the tiebreaker. That's little stat number one there for you. You can drop that in there if you want. Despite playing in Sacramento, the Warriors are 2-point favorites as the line opens. We'll see if that moves, but as of right now, the people who do this for a living think that Golden State is going to win by at least a basket. And then the rest of the stuff, these two teams, Maxime, are remarkably close. Both won 46 and lost 36. Both averaged right around 117. Golden State averaged 117.7. Sacramento, 116.5. They're also similar in assist rate. They both had about 29 assists per game. Leading scorer for us, we know. Obviously, it's Steph Curry. For the other side, the leading scorer is De'Aaron Fox. DeMontis is their leading rebounder. And I think the most significant thing I'm going to say here, people already know, Sacramento is not full strength. Malik Monk is going to be out for this game with a sprained MCL, and Kevin Huerter is out, in fact, for the rest of the series and the season with a separated shoulder. So there's kind of our setup as we head in. Before I go to the golden questions, how are you feeling about this matchup, man? Are you optimistic 2 days before?
I am optimistic. We talked about this on the last pod. This is the best case scenario once we found out that we were going to be in the play-in. I mean, I guess short of it flipping and it being at home, it's always a little bit nicer to play in the home crowd. Although this season, as we talked about before, the road record is pretty stellar. So we know that we can win in their building. We've seen it time and time again. And I just want to go back and say, Bram, I'm going to drop the Pacific Division tiebreaker tomorrow, because I think just saying Pacific Division proves that I'm an intelligent basketball person, because I don't even, I have no idea what that is really, but I'm ready to show off to all my friends.
I'll back into the stat, right? I'll casually, without really underlining, like, man, I can't believe our Pacific Division record didn't match up with theirs. And that's why we're there. You know, it's all those silly little games. Wow. I mean, there's no utility in this. So let's say it and then we'll move on. But the idea that it came this close, that you know, 7, 8, 9, and 10 were basically all within a game. And the Warriors specialized this year in throwing games away. You know, there's a, one of the things stuck out to me as I was going back through just those random stats thing and looking at the season series between Sacramento and Golden State. The thing that stuck out kind of underlines what I was just saying is that last game that we lost to them, the 134-133 game where Harrison Barnes went for 39. And that was the one to have the play-in, I'm sorry, the in-season tournament where it looked like we were going to beat him by more than 15. I say that only because how many games were the Warriors almost guaranteed to win and then threw away at the last second that probably would have mattered here. But I digress. You know, this is the matchup we have. So let's dig in. Maxime, here's our first of the Golden Questions. We obviously all deal with this matchup. Who are the top five players in this series? So to give you some time to think here, I'll go first. Steph Curry with a bullet. Number one, I understand what De'Aaron's been doing, but Steph is very obviously the only person who could even be listed here. Then I have De'Aaron Fox at number two, followed by Draymond, Sabonis, Clay. Am I being a homer? Putting the Warriors, three of these five, am I being right here? Do you agree?
Whew. Well, I didn't realize that we were going to need to do this in any kind of order. I do agree that three out of the five most important players are on the Warriors side of the bracket.
What do you mean you didn't know we'd have to do it in orders? Top five. When do you ever have a top five list that is not one through five?
Man, I don't know. I guess that's a good point. I just didn't think that I had to rank them. You know, this is really throwing a wrench in the works. In part because for me, I think there's a related question that when you drop top five to me is just as important. You know, which is basically like, with these guys that are out, right? Like the X factor is in it. I'm not necessarily saying who the top, like if you look at maybe points scored, right? Or rebounds, some of these top categories that are the stat counting things. I think you're about right. I think maybe we should have a conversation about Clay. You know, maybe Wiggins is more important. Maybe it's Kevon Looney because we saw how much of a monster he was against Sabonis in the playoffs when we faced him last year. So I do think that that there's some contention there, but I think in terms of X factors, right? Like it might be like a Trayce Jackson-Davis who actually can body, you know, Steve Kerr said that he wished that he played him more recently. And I think it's something to be said for that, especially as we're kind of, if we throw a rookie at Domantas Sabonis and he folds, like that's more embarrassing than if he folds under the pressure of Kevon Looney and Draymond Green. So I'm pretty excited to see what Kerr throws out there.
Can we give credit where it's due? I love that you talked long enough into that panicked response that you just changed the question and answered that. I said, you know what? I don't know about ranking the top five, but I'll give you an X factor, TJD, and then started to question the X factor you gave me. Is it cool to put a rookie on him? Nicely played, man. Just to suss out this top five, and you can help on a couple of areas I'm worried about. Like I said, Steph's there, and I think it's fair to put De'Aaron. That next one, Draymond Green. Is he the third best player in this series? Because Sabonis, you know, had a real arguable case to be an all-star. But the reason I put Draymond here in front of Sabonis is because Draymond's own Sabonis. He always gets him to respond. He always gets him upset in almost every matchup. Sabonis gets his numbers, but Draymond often walks away with the win. If you had to rank those two, Draymond before Sabonis, who do you take?
Yeah, I take Draymond over Sabonis, and I hope that that's a harbinger of us winning the game, right? Because if Sabonis is the better player, that's not a great sign for us.
Yeah. And then I finished it out with Clay, and I think that's out of respect. I don't even really want to like push it too far. He's looked good these last few games. I think I can sneak it in, but a lot of people might disagree. And to keep it Homer, if it was another Warrior, it's Wiggins here. Yep. X factor, I agree with you. X factor on either side. For the Warriors, we're going to need, you know what? I'm going to change it. I need a big performance out of Jonathan Kuminga. The thing that worries me the most about Sacramento and that we saw throughout the series last year was that they're younger and that they are faster. The only real answer we have to that, our athletic hammer, is Kuminga. He isn't guaranteed to have a big outing, but you know, we've been saying this entire season that if anything's going to come out of this year, it's that Kuminga makes the leap so that he's ready for it next year. And just to maintain that optimism, I'll label him as our X factor. And I'll push us to the next question. Why can Sacramento win this? Put on your Kings hat, your light the beam analysis. What do you think, man? Where are we vulnerable?
Well, it is De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is sort of the, you know, the next version of what Steph is. As Steph maybe is on the tail end of his prime, De'Aaron Fox is entering into it. He was the clutch player of the year last year. We saw him take some big time shots. If it comes down to the final couple of possessions, I'm going to be nervous if De'Aaron Fox has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, not rocket science, man. I can still remember when Malik Monk gave that press conference after whatever it was, game five, I think, last year, and not so subtly said, the Warriors are old. We are faster, and I can feel it. You know, there's reasons why I think the Warriors are going to win. We'll explore those in a second. But it'd be ridiculous to say Sacto doesn't have a shot there. I'm not sure who guards De'Aaron Fox. I hope it's Wiggins. I hope it's GP2. But if he put up a 40 spot, would I be shocked? No. You know, so why can Sacramento win? They're a good team. Mike Brown knows some of the holes in our defense, and they will be faster and more athletic than us. It is what it is. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win, which leads to the other side. Why can Golden State win? Why can Golden State win? One, they have the best fucking player on the floor. Anytime that happens, it gives you better than a puncher's chance. Two, they are the definition of a returning champs mentality. They have maybe 1 or 2 years left to really capitalize on this core, you know, and so they're not only motivated, but they are motivated and experienced. Youth, there isn't upsides only to youth. There's some very significant downsides, and you factor in the big brother, little brother thing across the board, by the way. Certainly true for the players. We punch these guys in the mouth in the first quarter. I think the game could be over right there, but it doesn't end on the floor. Mike Brown definitely feels like a little brother to Steve Kerr, even if he doesn't want to say it. And so does Vivek, their owner. That entire franchise is desperately trying to get out of Golden State's shadow. And if we throw a couple haymakers early on, reminding them that they're not there yet, this team could fold up shop and, you know, that would be it. So we have a real, we have a real shot. Vegas has looked at it and we are favorites. So, you know, why can we win? I just labeled it. You know, will we win? That'll be the next question. But first to you, what do you think, man? What advantages do Golden State have?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the little brothering thing, right? Again, I will say De'Aaron Fox wears Steph Curry's shoes. That's another little brother moment right there. You know, on top of it, if you look at the depth chart, right, we talked about the top five most important players. The next five are probably heavily skewed towards the Warriors as well, right? I mean, Malik Monk not being in the lineup, that's really huge. Kevin Huerter not being in the lineup, that's also really huge, right? I mean, those are a sixth man and a starter for the team. Right? I mean, we've had Harrison Barnes on our squad. I don't necessarily trust him in the hugest moments. So the depth definitely favors the Warriors as well.
The loss of Malik Monk for them cannot be understated. I mean, when I look at their roster, if I had to come up with a top three player for Sacramento, I think Monk makes my third. And, you know, he murdered us in that series last year. And as far as Harrison Barnes taking his place, I've told this story before, but I'll take it again now. I was lucky enough to not only go to game six against the Kings in the playoffs last year, but I sat in a suite. We just got lucky. And you'll remember that's the game where Steph got called for calling a timeout too early. It went, you know, they got called for a tech, and it literally ended in a three-point shot that could have won it for the Kings, and Harrison Barnes took it. And when they did that, I was too nervous to even look at the floor. I literally couldn't watch it. And so instead of closing my eyes or covering my face, I looked off and to the right. And I know now, because I was looking off and to the right, that the suite next to us was the Kings suite. It's all the people who worked for Sacramento who weren't important enough to be on the floor. And I can tell you, Maxime, that when Harrison Barnes took up that shot, there wasn't one person in that suite was like, yes, it's HB. Like, everyone's like, oh, why him? You know, which is something that I could identify immediately with. Yes. So another reason why they can win, you're right, that Herter's not out there and that Monk is gone. Putting pressure like this on someone like HB could really work in our favor. Couple of follow-ups. Follow-up number one, how terrible is the lighting on my side? I mean, every time I move my head, it feels like I'm being interrogated by the FBI. I mean, look at that. Wow. Like, it's unbelievable, dude. It's like a spotlight that just hits you right in the face. And then follow-up number two, who's the most hateable king? Before we give you a prediction, what player do you think we will learn to hate, sports hate, on Tuesday?
I mean, I don't know. Well, so right away, I think our relationship with Sabonis is such that he's the first person that came to mind. That's who I would pick, because I think there's no question that a Kings podcast would say it's Draymond Green. And there's going to be a lot of antagonism between the two, and they're probably going to be trying to play mind games with one another. So I wouldn't be surprised if by proxy, I end up frustrated with Sabonis by the end of the game.
I mean, my first surefire top two picks in this hateable draft were off the board. I mean, like Malik Monk, I would take my first eight picks. I pick Malik Monk. Herter's right there, not because of his success, because of his headband and like just his general appearance tends to bother me. I can't really justify that. But both of them are off the board, so I can't take it. I'm going random X factor, Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to hit enough three-pointers in the first quarter. And like the same kind of three-pointers that we saw from Trey Murphy in that New Orleans game were like, they were hitting shots that had absolutely no business going in. And when that happens, I will decide to hate Keegan Murray, sports hate, for the rest of my life. So I'm going that direction. Finish this out, man. Prediction town. What do you think? What happens?
I truly believe that we will win it. And that's I've put a lot of homer takes into this microphone, but this is one that I'm feeling pretty confident in. And for all of the reasons that we just laid out and more, and maybe I'll put one final bow on it. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the full audio of LeBron and JJ Redick's new podcast. In the very first episode, they talked about the 2022 series, Warriors against Boston. And he said, look, you know, a lot of people will talk about playoff experience and it's actually, it's basketball IQ. And look, I don't know the Kings as well as I know the Warriors. Obviously, this is a Warriors podcast. I'm a Warriors fan, but I feel very confident that we have higher basketball IQ on this team. And that matters, especially in a one game or in a like one game win or go home. It's huge. And it really, you know, and all of the different ways that Mike Brown has to understand our defensive schemes. I mean, we have one level up because we have a whole bunch of brilliant people on the floor, and I would go to war with them at any moment.
Who do you think dictates this loss or win? And here's what I mean. I have gone through this entire year never really questioning the Warriors' talent. But they have floated in and out of concentration. They've occasionally showed up, occasionally haven't. And so I've never believed they didn't have a shot in a game, but I did believe they had a chance of losing any of them, you know, just because they could. They could just space out. You never knew. So going into Tuesday, do you think this is the Warriors game to lose? You know, I mean, Vegas has them as 2-point favorites, or, you know, Sacramento had a better season until the end of the year the entire time. Like, do you view us despite the line as underdogs, or do you think Vegas is right making us favorites?
No, they're right in making us favorites. And it's not just because of that Vegas line, right? Yes, the Kings had the better season, but they also lost a couple of players at the end. They're backsliding pretty hard. Frankly, if I'm a Kings fan, you know, I mean, the rivalry aside, this budding rivalry here, you know, it's sort of like, I would be very happy if I won it, if I was a Kings fan, but I would not be surprised if I lost it. Whereas on the Warriors side of things, I mean, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of expectation that this Warriors team is going to be able to pull it out. It's definitely ours to lose here.
This is me being a homer yet again. And I think it was 2014. I'm not positive, but Golden State went into San Antonio. It was a full series, 7-game series, not a play-in because the play-in didn't exist. And we won one of the first two, should have been two, and ultimately came back and lost that series. But the whole time it felt like we were better, but I remember not really believing in us. That San Antonio had been there forever, and I loved how young and where we could go, but you know, San Antonio was the more established team. I don't have a lot of Sacramento King fans in my life. In fact, I have a fairly nasty relationship with the ones that I do. But if I'm Sacto fan, I think that's how you feel. I think that they believe that they've got a shot against us and they know that they're younger, but they also know what our reputation is and what we've done. And I think that if, even in Sacramento fans' heart, there's a fairly large element of doubt, you know, and I just hope the Warriors can come out, have a hot start, make these guys, everyone in that building, have them all go to lemon booty status, have them all start panicking. And if we can get there, I think we pull out a win. I genuinely do. So my prediction, I say Golden State wins it. And I think we win it comfortably. I think we're going to win it by more than 8-9. And in fact, I'll go a step further. I think that we maintain a comfortable lead through the fourth quarter. I think we all go into the fourth thinking that we're going to piss it away. And that's not what happens. I think that we establish that this postseason is a different thing. We ride a Steph heater and we come away victorious. And then we can start worrying about step two of the play-in.
Let's go. I'm sold. And I do feel like as we've been talking about, the Kings have sort of been backsliding at the end of their season here. I mean, they've dropped in the standings. We've not quite climbed in the standings, but I do see a renewed focus at the end of the season, some dropped bullshit moments aside. So I feel like we're surging at the right moment.
The things that we would have listed out. So let's say 4 weeks ago, we started having this conversation. So 4 weeks ago, you know, we had already shown all the inconsistency. We'd already gone through the Draymond drama. We'd already lost the assistant coach. Chris Paul had already been hurt. We'd gone through everything that we went through that led to their record. We decided, okay, what do we want to see from here? Well, I like them to get healthy. Check. They've got everybody playing on Tuesday. Well, I like them to get hot. Check. They've won 11 of 13, and their rotations are slowly coming into shape. And then, well, I'd like to have the best case scenario as far as an opponent. Check. You know, if we're going to be at the back end of the play-in, the team all of us would have handpicked is Sacramento. So look, I'm not saying that, you know, the Eclipse level lineup where we're now going to like shoot our way all the way to the finals or something. There's still a lot of work to be done. But of the things, the ways that the cards could have been, or cards could have been dealt over these last 4 weeks, they all finally went our way. You know, so, I mean, we've used it to success before. Let's use it again. I believe, Maxime, I believe that we will win. In fact, I think we should start with my favorite soccer chant to begin this episode. But we'll see. And we'll know in about 48 hours here, man. It's right around the corner.
Let's go. Go Dubs.
Let's go. Let's go. Get fired up. All right. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening to the Emergency Pod. Let us know we did a good job, that I was going a little bit too fast in the beginning, that Maxime's answer to the top five players didn't make sense. Get us a question, a concern, anything. You can shoot us an email, and you can shoot it to
Huddle@WarriorsHuddle.com.
With that in mind, go Warriors, fuck Sacto, and hopefully we'll be breaking down the next play-in match in just a couple days.
Good.